Hello, this is Vivi on 90.8 FM, Radio Campus Grenoble, with English Talk Radio. My guest today is Elise Couneau-Audister of the Office of Tourism in Grenoble, and we are at the Musée de l'Ancien Évêché in Grenoble, the old bishopric, the old bishop's palace. Hello, Elise, and welcome back to English Talk Radio.
Hello, Vivienne. Always a pleasure.
Where does this exhibit come from, and what is it named?
Well, it is a wonder exhibition. In fact, it's a fourth edition here in the Ancien Évêché Museum. And in fact, it's the first time in our region.
So we are really happy to have this wonderful exhibition about Vivienne Mayer as a photographer.
I'm having trouble here.
Oh, not working.
I don't understand what it's doing. So we'll keep going. I think it's all right, but a little bit of trouble here with the equipment. Louis, come and help me. This exhibition has been running since the 9th of November and will be here until the 15th of March.
Exactly, which is quite a normal time for an exhibition here.
And I understand that it's a touring exhibition, that it doesn't have a permanent home. It goes around and it's going to Taiwan.
Yeah.
And it came from...
Chicago, I think, something
no,
like that.
No, it came
that,
from somewhere else. Oh, Spain.
Oh, Spain, Madrid, yes.
Yes, César.
Madrid, yes.
Right. Vivienne Mayer was born in 1926 and died in 2009. She worked as a nanny, and in between her duties took many, many photographs of Chicago. John Maloof made a documentary about Vivienne Mayer after buying her negatives at auction.
Yeah, exactly. Well, first, yes, she worked as a nanny, but it was not in between her duties.
In fact, it was during her duties of nanny, which is kind of weird and funny in the same time. Thanks to the testimony of the grown-up children she care of. In fact, we know that during the time of nanny, she took a lot of photographs, and sometimes children bothered her a little bit. So she left there in a street. And often the policemen took back the children and the nanny was not here anymore. So I can imagine she was kind of precious for the parents because they didn't fire her. But we have to imagine it was wealthy children and they were left in not wealthy boroughs. So we can imagine she was a good nanny.
What are we seeing today? How many photographs are here in this exhibition?
Well, a lot, in fact, because we have
something like 126 pictures of New York, Chicago, but we have also 13 pictures of the Champs-Or, the part where Vivienne Mayer's families took place. So, in fact, it's 139 photographs in the whole exhibit, which is kind of a lot, but not comparing to the thousands and thousands of photographs she took during her life.
So, what we're seeing today is a sort of a slice of her work. It's certainly not the whole of her work.
Yeah, it's not at all. In fact, for example, we are missing a part that I miss dearly. It's all her trip photographs. She traveled a lot and she took, of course, lots of photographs, but it's not a well-known part of her work, so I hope sometimes we will have this exhibition.
You are listening to 90.8 FM, Radio Campus Grenoble. Now, Elise, is everything in black and white?
No. In fact, John Maloof also have some colorful photos because Vivienne Mayer in the 70s, 80s had different cameras and that's why she could use also color photo, but it was not her favorite part. In fact, she took some photograph in color and you can see it's bright primary color, but it's not her favorite part. She prefers black and white.
Well, she does an excellent job. One of the things that you notice when you walk around here is everything is in focus.
Yeah.
It's very clean, it's very sharp, it's very, very much black and white.
Yeah, and the most interesting part is that it's all negatives because she didn't print a lot of her photographs. So we have something like 100,000 negatives, but she didn't see a lot. Maybe 20,000 sprints, and that's not at all a lot.
No, but at the same time, she's representative here. I mean, there's a lot here that shows a cross-section of the kind of things she did. But she's an everyday life photographer.
Yeah, exactly. She took instant moments. The most important for her looks like to be something in life. And often we know, thanks to the grown-up children again, that she didn't ask the authorization to people in photo. So we can see in some portraits that people look really angry, because they didn't know. So it was, hey, clack, up, photo.
Well, I asked this question when I first started English Talk Radio. Is it legal in France to record people without their permission, if they don't know? I mean, obviously, I have your permission today, and the permission of the museum. And the answer was yes. You can walk out there with your microphone, and you can record anybody saying anything. That's your right.
Yeah.
Photography, I don't know, because the paparazzi have pretty much taken care of that.
Yeah, for the photos, but it's quite modern. It's quite recent. For 20, 30 years now, you can't do that. But we are more in the 60s and 70s. Mm-hmm. We are in the United States. You could do anything. So it was a lot at the time, and quite different mentality.
Yeah. What kind of cameras did she use, at least?
Well, she had first a Kodak given to her mother by a photographer really known at the time named Jeanne Bertrand. A French woman who was living with the grandmother of Vivian. And so we think that the first camera she got was this one. Then, thanks to the inheritance of her mother and grandmother and grand-aunt, she could buy a Rolleiflex, which is a really luxury camera. Mm-hmm. And then in the 70s, 80s, she could buy a Leica, also a Zeiss and SLR camera, which is also really luxury. And finally, we know that she had a Super 8 movie camera, because we have some videos, some films from her.
Do you think at this point, when she was buying these expensive cameras, because they were expensive for everybody and she was a nanny, was she projecting into the future and thinking that her work might someday be shown? Or do you think that was not in her mind?
We don't know at all, because unfortunately we don't have anything written except for some commentaries. We know that she was appreciative about her work, because on some envelopes for laboratories, mm-hmm. she would write things like, good work, not bad, good photos. So we know that she appreciated her work, but she didn't show any will to go into a museum, go into a gallery, so we don't know, and for now,
don't know. I would say the significant thing, Elise, is that she saved everything. Now, when you do that, that probably means you expect an audience at some point, and she was careful with the negatives.
Yes.
Wasn't she? They were taken care of very well.
Yes, and there is a little story, a little anecdote, which is really funny. For an employment, a job interview, she said to his daddy, you know, if I'm coming to your house, I'm coming with my life, my whole life. And he said, okay, that's okay, I have a big garage. But he didn't expect 200 boxes of photos, of negatives, of newspaper to come. So he had to rent a storage space for her because it was too much.
Wow.
And yeah, she was really, really careful about her stuff. It was really important for her.
So somewhere in her mind, she was clicking to the future. Maybe not even to the future, but her own personal history. You know, she was archiving her own life.
Yeah, in a way, because she has a really difficult family history. Her father was alcoholic, her mother abandoned her completely, her brother was violent, a violent child, a violent man. So she was completely lost. So in a way it was a sort of a keeper of her identity, of her personality, and maybe it was a way to not become crazy. insane. We don't know exactly, but we can
imagine that.
An outlet
for her anxiety or worry about her family. But she left home quite quickly, didn't she? She left all that behind.
Yeah, completely. At the moment she came back to New York in 38, 39, she was hired as a nanny. And from that period, she completely forgot about her family, and she didn't talk about them for the rest of her life.
So. Well, that probably kept her sane, you know, her work, her nannying, her work, and staying away from her family.
Yeah.
And she was able to handle all that stuff. She had no training in photography. She just loved the camera.
Well, for sure, we know that she wasn't registered in any school of art or photography.
Right.
But we know that there was Jeanne Bertrand. So she was a really famous photographer at the time. She was, for example, awarded by Boston Tribune. So she was someone. So we can imagine that the first classes of photography was taught by Jeanne Bertrand. We don't know exactly, but we can imagine. But what we know for sure is the influence of the exhibition, because Vivienne Meyer made a lot of voice recordings, and we know that she went to an exhibition in 55 in the MoMA, really famous, The Family of Man.
Mm-hmm.
It's the biggest exhibition we had in photography, with more than 500 photographs, and so we know that she saw this exhibition, and that was a big influence for her, especially for Hélène Levitt or Robert Doisneau, for example.
So there was a spark there. There was definitely a spark there, and somebody picked up on it, and it may have been this French photographer, and it may not. S'il vous plaît, madame.
We are stars.
The people she worked for were quite surprised to find out that their former nanny was a famous photographer. In the documentary, they say they had no idea, and they were astonished all these years later. Why do you think that is? I mean, you know, if you work for someone for a certain amount of time, you get to know them a little bit, and you say, oh, yes, my hobby is photography. Oh, how nice, you know, just even something like that.
Well, we can imagine she was really secret, a little bit weird. In a way, as a Ginsberg, the children she cared for a long time, consider her as a weird Mary Poppins. And it's exactly that. It's exactly how I picture her, really secret, really intimate. And in fact, she was just domestic for some of them. And she had only a room, that's it.
Yeah.
And the only time she had more was in the Ginsberg. During more than 15 years, she was in this house. And she had a room, but also a bathroom, which was really important because it's the only period of her life where she could have a photo laboratory of her own. So it's kind of a Victoria Woolf photograph here.
Mm-hmm.
She was able to develop a little bit thanks to that. But what we know is that the children knew that she was prolific, because she saw her took photos. So they knew that she was taking photographs, but they didn't imagine how much and the quality of her work, how talented she was.
Are there people around the world that have her photographs on their wall? Or not?
I think so. Yeah, because
you think some of it was sold.
Yeah, because now she's quite a phenomenon. So I'm pretty sure that today people have at least posters or photographs of her. But it's quite a good question, in fact, because, for example, the museum still today are a little bit cold about that. So they don't buy any photographs of Vivienne Meyer, because they are a little bit prudent, you know, care. Not sure about the fact that she can enter in a museum or not. So it's quite a good question. We are in a moment of transition right now, so maybe.
I thought all my questions were good.
Of course, but this one is excellent.
Talk about the composition of the photographs, because they're quite similar.
Yeah, it's really graphic, really geometrical, which is kind of funny because she took an instant. You don't have several photographs of the same scene. It's one photograph, and that's it.
So she had a good eye, in fact, for composition, for geometrical angle. And she loved a lot of things because you can see scene streets, you can see portraits, you have children, you have old people. And in fact, it's exactly what you said earlier. It's really the life of every day she's showing. And she's interested in everything. And she's really curious, and you can see that in her photographs.
I like the fact that you said she has an eye, because the composition is... I don't want to say perfect, because that's not a good word to use. But it's arranged. It doesn't look arranged. It looks impressionistic. But it's arranged. If you look at this particular one here, this little girl in a striped shirt with a watch on, who does not look as though she's very happy about having her photograph taken. I mean, look at the composition of it. It's almost perfect.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure it was not set up. Mm-hmm. She was not Robert Doisneau, for example, who is famous for setting up all his photographs. Here, it's just an impression of life, and that's why she's so talented. Yeah.
She was nannying. She didn't have time to set things up for 15 minutes and say to her subject, stand still, stand still, yeah. stand still, because it was fly on the wall. She was shoop through
exactly.
and she was gone, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Vivian Maier was something of an impressionist, in my opinion. She photographed everyday life in Chicago.
Yeah, and in fact, she is often compared to photographs from the movement called street photography. For example, she is always compared to Robert Frank, which is one of the most famous photographs from this street photography yeah. movement. But she is also, by her French origins, really close from the movement of humanism photography. For example, Robert Doisneau. And it's funny because she's between two worlds, between two styles, between two identities, and maybe that's why she's such a mystery. She is not easy to understand. And if you look at her photographs, it's easy, it's simple, but if you want to enter in, it's impossible. You don't know, because we don't have anything about her.
Well, and also, she doesn't follow the rules because she wasn't trained.
Yeah.
You know, if you train me and you say, well, you know, in order to take this photograph, you must do this and this and this, and I follow those rules, yeah. then I have a certain kind of photograph that I show you. But with Vivian Maier, she didn't. She didn't have any training. So she was setting up for herself.
She was really instinctive because she had it.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
She had it.
Yeah.
And that's how you recognize talent.
Do you think that her talent has been recognized now? I mean, I know we have this exhibition, but do you think it's really recognized, or are people just saying, nice pictures of children?
It's still complicated today. And in my visits here, I'm always talking about the fact that, today she's a phenomenon, and, a female photographer, great, but she's dead. So it's easy. So I'm always finishing my visits here talking about all the living female photographers, saying, it's kind of easy. In a way, it's the world of art is always a little bit clumsy about this part of art. The female art, still today, still in the 21st century, is a problem. And Vivian Maier is an easy solution of this problem. So we are talking a lot.
But she's not going away. I mean, she's here to stay. Well, I guess
I hope
not,
so.
That's not true either. She's here to stay as long as we are interested in her.
Exactly.
And John Maloof was the person who said, let's be interested in her, because I'm interested in her, I expect other people to be. And he was right.
Yeah, but in the same way, the world of art was, but he's not an historian of art, he's nothing, so we are not going to listen to him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's thanks to the crowd affection that Vivian Maier came to life, in fact, because the museums, the galleries, didn't care at all about her.
Right.
And that say a lot.
right. I really enjoyed the photographs of the children. Happy or sad, they are unselfconscious. They, like this little girl, she looks like, what are you doing? And some are crying and some are laughing. But they're unselfconscious. They're not saying, how's my hair? Or is my dress straight? Or are you doing this because I'm beautiful? They're not doing any of those things.
Well, she is doing a lot of children portraits. I think it's linked to her traumatic childhood. She searched something in this children, and in a way, maybe she stayed a child in a way, I think. And for example, just behind me, you have the girl from the poster, the little girl crying. Yeah. She's sobbing her heart out.
Yeah.
And she's so desperate. But in the same way, you can see who is this little girl in her eyes. Vivian Mayer succeeded to took exactly her soul. And that's why she's so wonderful. It's not the baby doll girl.
Exactly.
She's not perfect at all.
No.
But in the same way, the photographs is perfect.
No.
And that's why it's kind of a masterpiece. And I want to say something in the radio because we are looking for this little girl today. We don't know who she is. It's a photo took just in front of the station of Grenoble. So maybe if you are listening, your grandmother was taking photo. If it is, call the museum. We are searching for this little girl. We will be really interesting to know who she was, in fact, because it's really a mystery.
Well, I want to just go back and say what I said before about Impressionism and a slice of history, because if you lived there then in Chicago at that time, which is what, 1960?
Well, from the end of the 50s until her death in 2009.
Yeah, but these children, obviously, were taken a long time ago. They were taken at the beginning, I think, because of their hairstyles, their clothes. I think that's when they were taken. They are a slice of history of Chicago in that neighborhood at that time.
Yeah, and it's really interesting because that way we have a testimony, in a way, of what was Chicago and also a really personal way of seeing the things, because you don't have the beautiful Chicago, you don't have the beautiful ladies. It's life as it is.
Real life.
Yeah. And
which is not always pretty.
No, exactly. But if you look at the photographs, the portraits, especially, you have ladies who are not beautiful. It's not the kind of woman you are going to turn around. But she made them really beautiful. And if you look just behind you, for example, you have a mama, a real Italian mama. And she looks so glorious. I love it.
She's herself.
Yeah.
She's not going to change for anybody.
Exactly. And she looks really angry about Vivian Mayer taking a photo. But the charm of that.
You know the museum so well, Elise. Tell English Talk Radio listeners some facts about it.
Well, the museum was opened in 1998 because we rediscovered the baptistry underground. And that's why we opened a museum here. So that was a big chance, because now today you have two permanent exhibitions, one about the history of Isère department and the one about the baptistry. But you have also a garden, really nice to walk around and to stroll around. You can chill and learn in the same time, because it's also an archaeological garden. You can see, for example, the fortification just underneath the cathedral. So it's a really nice and really interesting museum. For the opening hours, it's open from Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., Wednesday to 1 p.m. to 6 p.m., Saturday and Sunday from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m., and close, of course, on the 25th of December, 1st of January, and 1st of May. But the most important thing is that it's free every day. We have this luck in the Isère department. All the departmental museums are free, and that's really a big chance.
Which comes to my next question. How is this museum in Grenoble funded?
Well, it's a part of the network of the 10th and really soon 11th museum of the department, because we are going to have a museum in Vif about the Champollion brothers, and we are really happy about that in 1 year, something like that. That's why you can find different books of the history of Isère. You don't have only about the baptistry in the shop, you also have about the resistance, you have also books from Visile Revolution Museum
Variety.
Of the Revolution. Exactly. And that's why it's one of the best museums of the department.
website and practical information to get English Talk Radio listeners into the museum?
Well, to come to the museum, it's really easy because it's near to the Notre Dame Square. For the internet website, it's www.ancien-eveche-isere.fr. And if you come with the tramway, it's really easy. You have to stop at Notre Dame Museum. Really easy.
Thanks, Elise Cugnot-Odestra. I don't think I finished. Did I finish?
Ah,
I'm thanking you without...
You didn't ask me my favorite work.
quick, half a minute.
Well, half a minute, easy. My favorite work is the self-portrait of Vivian. She made a lot of self-portraits, but not smiling. There is one. So it's your mystery. If you come to the exhibition, you have to find the only self-portrait with a smile.
And why is it special to you?
Well,
because it's the only one?
It's the only one, first.
Yeah.
And second one, you can see who she was really. Because it's not worked at all. It was a moment. It was a surprise. And she smiled.
I think mine is this little girl. I love her. She's just taking on the world.
She is really bold.
A Chicago little girl, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Thanks, Elise Cugnot-Odestra from the Grenoble Tourist Office for being our guide and guest today. This is a wonderful museum right in the heart of Grenoble. Come and see it. Happy holidays to all our listeners and stay safe. Remember, if you're traveling in Europe this holiday season, the telephone number that you can call if you have problems is 112. Thank you, Elise.
Thank you, Vivian.
Happy holidays to you.
Yeah, happy holidays.
You can listen to English Talk Radio on 90.8 FM, Radio Campus Grenoble, Wednesday 1900, Sunday 12:30. And don't forget the podcast, www.campusgrenoble.org. Thanks to Elise and thanks to Louis at the radio. English Talk Radio.